from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Hey, how we doing? Well, it's certainly a Monday today. NFL draft week, and who decides to, in some ways, do a little cannonball into the pool, cause some ripples into what we are talking about this week, and that is the Buffalo Sabres, as they officially announced today in a very quick succession, going from some reports by Elliot Friedman and such that, you know, momentum's building to it being Lindy Ruff, to the Sabres just making it official. Boom. Lindy Ruff is the head coach. It's a reunion. He was the head coach from 1997. He was fired in the middle of the 2012-13 season. 8 playoff appearances. And just so many good memories, honestly. Just so many good memories. A lot of it that I don't even know necessarily it lived through. I was born in 98. Be perfectly honest with you, I'm turning 26 on Saturday. I know, really, the era of Lindy Ruff that I know is kind of the end. And even I know that Lindy Ruff is this beloved figure in Sabres history. And me and Bulldog were talking there right at the end of the show, just like, he's one of the beloved figures. And there's kind of this feeling of potentially of just, I've got fear now. Like, if this doesn't succeed, there's already been so much bad with the Sabres that if this does not go well, and we'll get to that here in a second, because I kind of want to talk about like what really is doing well with Lindy Ruff now back as head coach. If this goes poorly, where do you go from here? Honestly, where do you go from here? Because now, perfectly honest, I think it can only be bad unless he wins the cup. Because I think for a lot of people, and I probably throw myself in there included, like I don't totally know how just making the playoffs after like a year or two would really feel for me. When the Bills broke their drought the first year, I didn't care. They were playing Jacksonville. Cool. Who cares? We broke the playoff drought. That was it for me. That's all I needed. And at the time, growing up, I hadn't seen any Bills playoffs. I mean, I was alive technically when they made it, but we're being honest here. It's a bit different. I have seen successful Sabres teams. I do have some of those memories. Not many because I was very young, but I do have those memories. But I think it would be in a similar vein though to the Bills, where maybe year one, I'm like, hey, drought's broken. We're not a total disaster. But it might be even in that year I want them to do more. Because looking back at that Bills year, it was just so stunning. They really weren't a playoff team, but they kind of backed their way into it, like many teams kind of do. The Bills just finally were that one. Where the Sabres, there's a very real chance. Look at Vancouver this year. Were a disaster last year, and they're dynamite this year. And they beat Nashville last night. They're off to the races, and they're full bore. New Jersey, who he just left, kind of was the same thing of like, oh, okay, we're amazing now. This is great. And you saw Lindy get fired this year, partially due to, you know, injuries, bad goaltending, what have you. But also, you know, going into the year prior when they became really good, there already kind of was rumblings of fire Lindy and stuff like that. I almost have this nervous feeling about what this could be, because I almost feel like this can only be a negative. That unless he does raise the cup, which I know, Sneaky Joe, I liked his tweet from earlier today. If Lindy Ruff came back and they won the Stanley Cup with him as head coach, it would be like a Disney movie. Legitimately, it would be. I cannot argue that point. It would be like a Disney movie. I just don't know how realistic that is. I don't know how realistic it is to expect or hope for that. And so for me, like just in terms of like what is successful here, I think what's successful here is that he's the coach for the next 3 or 4 years. They bring back some stability. They bring back a standard and a winning standard. They make a few playoff runs. Maybe they even make it to, you know, the second round, or, you know, they win a series or two in Eastern Conference Finals. That'd be amazing. And they have a clear succession plan for when they are done with Lindy. Seth Appert really is kind of a name that I come up often there. That Lindy takes this young core to the next level, make a few playoffs, maybe win a series or two, bring back great vibes for this team. And then you go to the young guy, the next guy, the real guy that maybe is going to take them far. I don't know how long Lindy is the coach. I really don't. I don't think it'll be a disaster. I'd be very surprised if in 2 years we're sitting here going, I can't believe we've done this. Like, this is a disaster. They are just as bad as always. We're trading away key pieces because they're just not working. This is a tire fire. I'd be very surprised by that, because Lindy is simply not a bad coach. I think the Sabres have had a few bad coaches in this run. Honestly, I think if Lindy's the coach of this current Sabres team this year, they make the playoffs. He is good enough to get that done. There are questions. Will Lindy's kind of like more old school, hard-nosed style work with this young core? Really, just young players in general. I'm interested to find out. I will say, though, this team kind of begging for discipline and accountability in their postseason or in their offseason press conferences kind of speaks volumes into maybe this group really does actually want that. They don't want their coach to kind of just be like, no, guys, keep making mistakes. You're fine. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting to see where this team goes from here. With all that being said, and we'll get to your calls here in just a second. I know I spoke with a lot of you in that quick five-minute break we had before the show came on, but I do want to make this point. And I know why Kevin Adams specifically is not, like, I guess, banging the drum a little bit and, you know, shouting it from the heavens that, oh, this is a nostalgia hire. Love it. I'll show up. I get why he's not doing it. But don't try to gaslight fans into be like, no, it's just a bonus that, like, you all love him and are going to be here on opening night. Like, it's a crazy coincidence, because it's simply not. It's not. There's a reason why his press conference after firing Granato ended with somebody in the media asking, hey, what about Lindy Ruff? His name has been in the zeitgeist really since the day he's been fired. And we're going to act like it's not this nostalgia hire that didn't play a part into it. Of course it did. You killed all the goodwill you had with the fan base. You had to essentially start over. Don't lie and say that, like, no, it's crazy talk. No, what? It is. And to be honest, I wonder how many fans would actually be frustrated at just outright accepting it or acknowledging it. Where for me, I'm somebody, look, it's a part of it. It is what it is. But I do think Lindy's a good coach. I'm nervous because there is a chance this is a disaster. I don't think a very high chance. I'd be very surprised, but there is a chance, and that makes me nervous. But I wonder how many fans would actually be upset at, like, just the acknowledgement of, like, of course, like, we know fans love him. We love him. And we think he's still a great coach. And we think that makes it a perfect marriage. rather than the sort of gaslighting we're getting now. Because to be honest, I've seen some responses already on Twitter. And like, it's a lot of being made fun of. I'm talking about Adams. Adams being made fun of for just kind of like ignoring the elephant in the room. I don't think that helps anybody. But I do understand it to a certain extent of not wanting to, I guess, give away the game, I guess. But I don't totally agree with it. Let's go to the phones here. Let's start with Jeremy on the line. Jeremy, how are we doing tonight?
Oh, not too bad. I'm positive with the hiring of Lindy, but not with what some fans are going to say. I'm positive because he's going to bring a winning culture here that's been lacking with this team since he left. I don't think he's going to bring a cup to Buffalo, but I'm just hopeful that he's just going to get these young guys to learn what it means to be a winner. And then the next coach coming in, whether it be Seth or some other guy, that's going to come in and then get us over this hump.
Yeah, Jeremy.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, I fully agree. I think, like, that's maybe the biggest thing, and you kind of brought it up, like, really, since he's left. They haven't had a standard. They have not really been, like, a winning organization. They've been awful, if anything.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, I've been a Sabres fan since I was in diapers. I'm 43 years old. I've seen all the highs and all the lows over these years. And I'm hopeful that my little nephew, he's a huge Sabres fan. He pulls out my old VHS tapes when I was working and going to school of the 99 Sabres, and he loves Lindy Ruff. So he's driving down the street yelling at me while I'm doing my lawn work today about the hiring, because I didn't even hear it. And I mean, he's just happy. He goes, "We're going to be winners now. We're going to be winners now." And I'm hopeful for the future. I think this is not going to correct our problems, but I think this is step one to getting there.
Yeah, Jeremy, thanks for the call, man. I think for a lot of people, that is, I hope that's the reaction. I get nervous that there's going to be a lot of fans that just think like, boom, we're going to right the wrongs. He's going to bring the cup. It's going to be amazing. Because I think that's just, it's how we're going to get disappointed. I think realistically why Lindy was brought in is he is going to be a guy that knows how to bring in discipline, knows how to bring in a standard, is used to winning, is used to making the playoffs. And he is. I mean, ultimately, he is. With Buffalo, of course, you know, 8 playoff appearances in his however many years, and he did it with 2 different cores. Of course, you have his first, you know, 4 or 5 years here when he was here where they just kept making the playoffs. Dominic Hasek, they have the Stanley Cup run, they have the conference finals, the whole thing. Then you've got like a 3-year window, not great, they missed the playoffs. Then it's 2 straight conference finals, and those are, I mean, how often do we bring up 05, 06, 06, 07? All the time when we're talking about the Sabres, all the time. And that was more killed off of ownership, off of being cheap and making a bad decision in terms of who to bring back or who to try to bring back. And even then, missed the playoffs for 2 years after losing their 2 biggest pieces in Chris Drury and Danny Briere. And then he makes 2 more playoff appearances. But ultimately, like normal, I think honestly, like most coaches, the message gets dry by the end. And 2 years later, he's fired. But then in Dallas, in 4 years, 2 playoff appearances. Not great, but 2 playoff appearances. And then in Jersey, took over a very young team, a team that was desperately kind of trying to figure their stuff out. They missed the playoffs for the first 2 years. They make it last year as a very young team. And honestly, Lindy was kind of killed by goaltending. Honestly, I think if they got just league average goaltending numbers, he's probably still in New Jersey. I'm not saying he's a wunderkind and we need to, like, you know, just bow at his altar. Don't mistake me for that. But he also does have 864 wins. I would be surprised if anyone in the Sabres locker room right now would look at Lindy and kind of scoff at his message. He's been there and done it a long time. And then for a young team still trying to figure out, in a way, Buffalo as a whole, there is very few people that know Buffalo more than Lindy. As I haven't even mentioned his playing career, being with the Sabres from 79 to 89. And so there's very few players that know Buffalo better. And to be honest, this team gets up for those big nights. So I wonder if an offseason of Lindy Ruff kind of banging in the message of like, no, like this is how we're going to do it. This is how we do it for this city. And especially off a year where many of the players in their locker room exit press conferences sounded very frustrated with themselves, very frustrated with how the team lacked accountability, lacked discipline, lacked consistency. Tage Thompson outright talking about some guys should have been in the press box. They should have been benched. I honestly think this team is going to welcome some of the changes, some of the aggressive, radical changes that Lindy Ruff will bring that Granato did not have. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Patrick here on the line. Patrick, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, I'm good. Doing pretty well. How about you doing?
Doing very well.
Good, good. I honestly, my primary reason for calling was just to hear your thoughts of why Lindy is the number one guy. Because I looked at, you know, I'm definitely more of like a Bills guy versus a Sabres guy. You know, I love hockey, but I definitely love football a little bit more. But I looked at like a guy like Quinville and a couple other guys that like the Denver head coach that was coming in that might have been a guy. Like, I guess, what's your primary reason to loving Lindy Ruff? Because my heart is screaming, you know, I was born in 94. You and I talked about this. You know, you were born in 98. I'm 94. It's like all I know in terms of Sabres winning hockey is Lindy Ruff. But what's the difference between him being in New Jersey and, like, the difference is just goaltending? That's the only reason why he's no longer New Jersey was just goaltending. So, like, are we saying that if Luukkonen had the same back half of the year that he had with Buffalo, you know, let's say he was on the Devils, all of a sudden he's still the head coach there, I guess? This is just me, you know, this is like kid me, you know, mid-2000s, I guess, trying to asking if, like, if it's honestly possible for you to convince me that Lindy is no longer the guy. Like, I guess, did you have another person in mind that you would rather have as the Sabres head coach?
Yeah, Patrick, thanks for the call, man. I kind of did, to be perfectly honest. I like the Lindy Ruff hire. It is not my favorite. I did like guys like, And to be fair, like, and before I say this, I did want guys similar to Ruff. My problem and my fear is that you just know with this hiring, it's like at least 50% nostalgia, knowing that you'll get fans in the building, knowing that now there's going to be some big moments, hopefully with Ruff as head coach and stuff like that. And I think that's a lot of it. But I did want guys like Gerard Gallant, or, you know, if Mike Sullivan had hit the open market, if he was fired by Pittsburgh, I liked that idea as well. Bruce Boudreau was lesser on it, but for me, a lot of it was I wanted new eyes, or I wanted a newer voice, but somebody that had been there and done that. I know Denver's coach Paul has brought him up a lot. He is kind of an interesting idea because he would also bring in a winning culture. College, not NHL or AHL, but he has a winning culture. For me, it's just, I think Lindy is a good coach. And I do partially think that, like, yeah, if he had the back half of UPL this year, that New Jersey's fine. Now, New Jersey had problems really from the start of the year. They had injuries and bad goaltending, and that kind of really torpedoed their season. But, yeah, I partially believe – nah, partially. I'm, like, 80% there that, like, if they had UPL in net all year, Lindy, not even an argument for me that Lindy's absolutely still the head coach. They had some of the worst goaltending imaginable. I don't honestly think Lindy got that fair of a shake, but in a way, this is why I like hockey. A lot of times, they really will not let you get stale. They won't. It was always my frustration with the Sabres. I thought Granato should have been fired in December. You came in with expectations, you're getting good goaltending, but your goal scoring numbers are ridiculously low. Why are you still the head coach? And from what we've heard from Kevin Adams when he spoke last week with the media, it seemed like they wanted to give him a chance to swim out of it. I wouldn't have. And to be fair, most hockey teams wouldn't have. And I like that. So while I'm going to say Lindy didn't get a fair shake, that's part of the reason why I like hockey, though. They do not let you get stale. They will move on fast. Teams with far higher expectations than the Sabres. But there is fear with this hire. I will not bat an eye at anyone that is just outright not a fan of it at all. It thinks it's a PR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
PR move, anything. Because I think it is partially a PR move. And it's going to be almost impossible for the team to move me off that stance, because to be honest, I don't really think they've done a very good job already of convincing people it's not partially a PR move, because they try to gaslight and be and like make you look away from it and go, no, he's just the perfect coach right now. Sure, he's a good coach, and he has, you know, the added bonuses of being a heartwarming figure in Sabres lore and really in Buffalo sports. Don't get me wrong, it's not Marv Levy coming in a GM. Lindy Ruff is still an active head coach. Again, as I brought up, I think he should still be in New Jersey if they had goaltending. That's where it's very different from what the Bills were doing. This is also, it's not a fully PR move. I think it is about 50%, but I do honestly believe Kevin Adams in thinking, no, that's the guy we need. Because he probably did see, you know, all the success with Buffalo and has heard Ruff talk about liking this roster a lot and went, that's the guy I need. He's going to be the one to get the most out of them, because he's paying attention to an Eastern Conference rival who's not even in the playoffs. So, I mean, they're Eastern Conference rival in name only. He's paying attention to our roster, and he knows, or he thinks, it could be good enough to do something with. And that's been my thing, too, is going into this coaching search, I was interested to see what coaches would want to take it, because ultimately, I actually did think it's a very good roster. I think Renato did a really bad job. I think it's fine to say that yes, he's a nice guy and he was a terrible head coach. By the end, he was awful. Those guys were not motivated. They were not consistent at all. There was no accountability, and it showed. It showed that they're talented enough, because they're not one of the worst teams in hockey. They were just inconsistent enough to where they couldn't ever go on a winning streak, but they were consistent enough to where they would never go on a long-term losing streak. That has been the thing that has given me the most confidence going forward with this team, is that it does just feel like they need to get that little oomph out of them for them to actually take that next step, and Granato just was not that guy. I've said it a lot when I was covering with the Extra Point Show with Josh Schmidt, is just it feels like Granato was the perfect assistant coach. He is the guy that when the coach is yelling at you, you could go to him and he would brush your ego. He'd make sure that you knew, hey, he doesn't hate you. He just wants the best out of you. You know you're amazing. Like, that's Granato. But the problem is, and you heard the players talk about it, when they needed that second gear, when they needed that next push, it fell on deaf ears. There's nothing. Granato did not have that second gear to get the most out of these guys. And from what Adam said, and you could kind of believe it by how sloppy the team came out, to start the season. It was there since training camp. And that's deeply frustrating. And again, I do not think this is going to be a disaster of a hire. I just don't. I think Lindy is a good enough coach. But I also do want to keep my expectations, I don't want to say to a minimum, but realistic. I don't think he's going to win the cup for us. I also don't think he's going to be here past 4 years. I do think with the Lindy Ruff hire, there is sort of a plan for the future, if you will. He's 64 years old, and he's been in multiple stops. I do think there's a plan in the future, but I also think this might be Lindy's last coaching job to eventually just be with the Sabres, maybe as president of hockey operations or what have you, and that this is his way to do it. He can build in great will with the fan base again by breaking the drought, again, maybe winning a series or two, and then I really do believe they will hand the reins off to eventually Seth Appert because he has been exceptional in Rochester. Let's take one more call here before we take our first time out of the night. Let's go to Kevin on the line. Kevin, how are we doing tonight?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well.
You know, I'm hearing a lot of conjecture about why people think or don't think he can be successful. And I think on his own merits as a coach, I think he's a good coach. The problem is, will the players buy into his message, but more importantly, not his message, but his discipline? Lindy Ruff is an extremely old-fashioned, hardcore guy. Now, I'm sure he's toned it down a bit, but there are two former Buffalo Sabres who now have their own podcast who talk extensively about how harsh Lindy Ruff was when he was the coach. The players were afraid of him. They were petrified of him. And I just do not see this group of soft. I've been watching hockey for over 40 years. This is by far the softest bunch I have ever seen in a Sabres uniform. I cannot see this group buying into his discipline. Remember, nobody's talking about this, but Lindy Ruff was run out of town the last time he was here because the players, nobody's going to say this, the players couldn't stand him. There were guys in that dressing room who absolutely hated him. And so if Derek Roy and Jason Pominville and that crew, if he was too hardcore for them, how is this group going to accept his discipline? I do not see it happening. I think in a year from now or in 2 years from now, the Sabres are going to be looking for another coach. I think that's what's going to end up happening, unfortunately. That's my take.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for the call, man. And honestly, I can understand your fears. I think that is definitely something to consider in terms of, like, this team. Like, there have been rumors, reports, or whatever, and you use the word soft there. I know Dylan Cousins kind of got into some trouble because he kind of said the same thing about him to start the year. But I also think we're at a point now where a lot of these guys have to look themselves in the face. A lot of these guys who have been here for a number of years and have been part of the laughingstock of the NHL. At a certain point, you do need to face the music. You do need to be criticized. These guys were somewhat asking for it in their exit press conferences. I think a lot of these guys actually do need to fear for their jobs. I think they need that push. Now, maybe it's a bit radical to go a complete 180 from Granato, who, as I have said, I think was way too soft on these guys and gave him a lot of outs. I know Paul Hamilton uses that kind of verbiage as well. He was giving him outs. I think he was. Maybe they really do need a guy who is just flat out not going to do it. They have young guys coming in who are already very talented. Benson is just, he's scrappy. He's 5'11", but he's scrappy and he gets it done and he's talented. And he does all the dirty things that you want kind of that fourth line guy to do. Benson's doing it and has offensive potential. He was 18 years old. Paterka and Quinn coming in as hard workers and are outscoring guys, are outpacing guys oftentimes. I think, you know, who might actually benefit the most from this is probably Dylan Cousins. I think that poor guy gets in his head too much, and it might be good for him to just have a single-minded focus of get it done. Just get it done. Darlene as well. might be somebody who really flourishes under Ruff, because I think Darlene actually might have a similar temperament to Ruff as well. Just having listened to Darlene every now and then, he seems to have a little bit of that temperament. I'd like to see how it goes. Now, this also may sacrifice somebody like Jeff Skinner, who really just will not work under Ruff. I think that one's almost obvious. I also don't think that maybe is a bad idea. He's 31 years old on a very expensive contract, and he didn't score in the last 13 games. It was kind of a non-factor. I think Skinner might be one of the players a lot of these guys were talking about if he needed to be benched. Need to be sitting on the press box. He might be one of those guys. And honestly, I'm at this point, I'm done with fun vibes. They need to win. They need to build a standard that simply has not been here since Ruff was fired. And while I'm nervous, I'm also excited. Got to take a quick time out here. Still going to try to take your calls. I am solo here. 803-0550 is the number to call. But if you really want to get a hold of me, it's going to be on Twitter at ZacharyJones198. Give me your thoughts. How are we feeling about the Lindy Ruff hire? And kind of really, what do you think the ceiling is for Ruff as head coach of the Buffalo Sabres Part 2? Love to hear your thoughts. I'm Zach Jones. You're listening to Nightcap. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones here on the Nightcap, going until 8 o'clock tonight. And big day. It's draft week, but the Sabres decided to hijack at least this Monday with the announcement that they are hiring Lindy Ruff to come back and be the Sabres head coach. It is a move I am leery on. I think there's absolutely positives to it. I do question the legitimacy of the hire in terms of, did you do this just for hockey reasons? I'm also leery in the fact that I don't think this is a finished move in terms of, you think you're going to win a cup with Lindy. I really don't think that they think that. I think this is a more of a move of get Lindy in here now, build up in terms of the standard, the winning culture, and then I think he's gone in like 2 or 3 years. Not necessarily because he's fired. I think he retires. And they move on to someone like Seth Appert or a younger guy after they've built in this kind of standard. Honestly, I think that's where it's at. But they were so desperate. You could hear it in Kevin Adams' end-of-season press conference and after they had fired Granato. You could hear it, how frustrated he was. I mean, actively kind of going after the media, even though it was his head coach kind of kept saying the same message of, this is not a young team anymore. I'm tired of hearing that. You know, or, you know, I'm tired of hearing about, you know, they need to go through experiences or they're learning or they're learning to deal with stress. Like, these guys have been scouted since they were 14 years old. Like, he was mad. And I think that's a lot of where this is coming from. He wants a coach that's going to come in and to come hell or high water, instill a winning culture and instill stability and a standard that the team has not had since I was like 15. I'm turning 26 on Saturday. I mean, ultimately, I think that's really where we're at. That's what they want. And it's an added bonus that Lindy Ruff would also energize a lot of this fan base. The problem is, I think they looked at that part first. I think they looked at he'll energize the fan base and then went, ooh, also he might be exactly what we're looking for. I think that's why he was brought in, for the most part, at least 50%, is that he will energize the fan base and he ain't a bad coach, so we'll at least get good years out of him. Because ultimately, I do want a coach similar to Ruff. I brought up Gerard Gallant a lot. Hard nose, he's going to get the most out of his players. They may not like him in 2 or 3 years, but they'll be better. They'll have won something. They'll have actually put together good seasons instead of having the constant, you know, meme of meaningful games in March. We'll have meaningful games in April. Playoff games in April. But I do get worried, and I understand where people get worried that they actually hired him mainly because, well, he's Lindy Ruff. And Sabres fans love him. Let's read some of your tweets. Dutchman tweets in, I'll tell you the truth about Lindy. By the end of Lindy's tenure, the majority of the fans were tired of him and wanted someone new. I can agree with that. I think everyone's message gets old. And even greats run out of time. I think that's just that is the nature of the beast. Looking at football, Don Shula had gotten to that point. Tom Landry maybe being like the most iconic, I think, one of like just how great he was and then having to get rid of him. I agree with that. With that being said, there was 10 years ago. I'm excited about it. These young guys need their attitudes to get lit on fire. I agree with that. I think that's really my big thing is that I think this team desperately needs a father figure, I guess, in that way, but more like in the sense of just they need to be pushed. They need to be told not constantly how great they are. They need to be told that some nights they sucked and that it was not even close to up to par. And I don't know how much that was happening under Granato. And it kind of feels like it wasn't happening really at all. Jason tweets in, he's a proven coach who excels at providing structure and demanding in a high level of his players from his teams. I get the optics, but he's a legitimately fit for the current Sabres team. More importantly, he's the type of coach these players are openly craving. That I fully agree with. I think that's my thing. And we took a call in the last segment. I can understand the fear that maybe this team will not react well to that. I can fully understand it. I do also think Lindy has changed from his last time he was a Sabres coach. But that's the point for me right there at the end. It sounded like this team was openly craving that. So if they complain about it now, you know they're not the right player. You know to just get them out. And they may have their little complaints. They're going to be there, obviously. If he's that hard on them, you're not going to love everything he does. That'd be weird. But what the fans want, I think what the team wants, is to sustain success. To actually put together a team that you can be proud of night in and night out. We'll see if it happens. I'm excited to a certain extent. I don't want to sit here and say that I'm over the moon or that I think this is going to be the greatest hire ever. Honestly, I don't. To be perfectly honest, I'm more nervous than excited. But I do think he can somewhat put stability in a standard with this team, which is something they desperately need. That's, I think, what they need more than anything, is the standard. Now, ultimately, though, and I said it earlier today, and I'm going to keep saying it, is I think ultimately, though, this move is going to be more a long-term thing of eventually him retiring, maybe going up to president of hockey operations, staying with the Sabres for the rest of his career, not necessarily as a head coach, and they promote from within Seth Appert. Appert has been fantastic with Rochester, especially after the last few years, where they've seemingly gone really heavy towards the young guys. He has been very, very good. And now I kind of want to see how that can continue. Honestly, I'm kind of frustrated that they really were never going to give him a chance because they obviously had their guy from day one. I mean, the fact that we're here less than a week later and they've got their guy kind of tells you everything that when Adams was speaking with the media, he knew exactly who he was going for. But Appert, in 4 years with Rochester, missed the playoffs in year one, made it in 21-22, lost in round two, made it to the Eastern Conference Finals at the Calder Cup last year, and they're back in this year. And they look poised to go on a run again because they're hot at the end of the year. He is somebody I would have loved for them to have taken a serious look at. But I also do think they were just not in the right mindset to do it. They know they need to build a standard. And while I think Appert would be great, I can understand Adams and really the Sabres as a whole not totally trusting that. But now it really is going to be, because rough is not going to change. You know what you're getting there. But I think now it is fully in Adams. You've got to add in a few more pieces. Got to get legitimate veterans, not guys that are going to come in for leadership and they can't really play on the ice. You need legitimate guys who can come in and challenge this team. And having been there and done it, and not 10 years ago, but being 26, 27, 28 years old and can still play at a high level. And then to the players currently on this team, it is put up or shut up now I would have told you at this time last year that was one of the most likable Sabres teams in recent memory. Definitely since 05-06, without a doubt to me. They had young, up-and-coming talent. It was fun personalities. And they looked to be some of the best talent you've seen since the heydays. And 365 days later, I think rightfully we have a caller calling in, calling them soft, one of the softest teams he's ever seen. I've seen multiple people on Twitter talk about trading Dylan Cousins. You traded the wrong center. What's going on with Tage Thompson? What is Rasmus Dahlin? Paul brought it up tonight, too, of like just, you know, what have you gotten out of Rasmus Dahlin? He ain't the generational defenseman you thought you were getting. Quinn Hughes is. And he was taking, what, 6-7 spots later? He got 97 points this year with Vancouver. He's amazing. And there's a lot, and I mean a lot of players on this team who have to look themselves in the face and decide now, what kind of player will you be? Will you just be a fine, solid NHL player? You'll probably move around a little bit here and there. Or are you actually going to be somebody? This is a young, fun team last year. At this time last year, we were all sitting here going, playoffs, oh, baby, we're coming. We're already here. Just need to fix a little bit in the goaltending, maybe add a better defenseman. We're rocking and rolling. The team decided to basically do nothing. But the current core as well did not help matters. They've talked about wanting a coach like Ruff. More accountability, more discipline, more structure. They're going to get it. Now it's up to them to actually answer the bell. And they can't come in October when the season starts and be, oh, they're fine. They're about 500. They're not really going to be No. It is put up or shut up for most of this team. For most of the team. You're getting good goaltending. I know recent reports also had it. I know UPL's a restricted free agent, but most reports have them that they're going to work on re-signing him. You're probably going to have Levi as your backup next year. So goaltending looks solid. You're hopefully going to be healthy. We'll see how that goes. That's always kind of holding your breath. But even then, if you're Adams and you get another injury in the middle of the offseason, you can't just let it sit there. You can't. But then with this team, you got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. And I like this core, and I think they can do it. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll wrap up tonight's show. You're listening to Nightcap, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Monday night on WGR. A reminder, of course, the Buffalo Sabres have hired Lindy Ruff as their head coach. He makes his, controversial return. It kind of seems like just seeing on social media, taking calls today, a little bit controversial. I think a lot of people, myself included, while we love Lindy and somewhat interested in the hire, I would have liked a different voice. I would have liked a newer voice rather than maybe the retread of all retreads. He will, though, have his introductory press conference at 1 o'clock tomorrow, of course, right here on WGR. We will carry that, so do stay tuned for that. Also, of course, it is draft week for the NFL. I made a few jokes that the Sabres kind of, hijacked it a bit, but it's fine. Always happy for that. But, of course, it is draft week. First round of the NFL draft on Thursday at 8 p.m. Excuse me, I almost said 4 p.m. At 8 p.m., our coverage here on WGR is going to start at 7 with myself, Nate Geary, and Derek Kramer. We'll carry you all weekend, Friday starting at 7 with rounds 2 and 3, and then, of course, Saturday rounds 4 through 7 for whenever that ends. We'll be on at noon. That's going to go on for quite a while, as it always does. Very excited for this draft. I think, really, this is maybe my favorite draft I've covered here while I've been working here at WGR, just because we all kind of know what the Bills need to get. It's a talented class to do so, but what are they going to do? Are they going to stay pat? Are they going to trade back? Are they going to trade up? I will tell you, and I'll leave you with this for tonight. The idea of trading back, the more I look at the back end of the 2024 class and the second round, the back end of the first round into the second round, I hate it more and more, the idea of trading back. Kansas City, probably going to take a receiver. Ultimately, they probably are. Rashee Rice is going to have a multi-game suspension, if not worse, with potentially going to prison with the felonies he's dealing with, all that stuff. And even then, they still kind of need somebody. So they're likely going to take somebody. Carolina, without a doubt, needs a wide receiver. Xavier Leggett might be perfect at 33. Patriots, if they take a wide receiver, cannot toss them aside and say that they won't take a receiver. They desperately need one. Arizona likely takes Marvin Harrison Jr. They're out. Washington, though, also likely taking a quarterback. Terry McLaurin's not getting any younger, and it might be a good idea to add more weapons there. Chargers, if they take Joe out, they're taking a wide receiver there. There's just no doubt in my mind. Tennessee also could absolutely take a wide receiver. And who are you trading back with there? Maybe Washington's second pick at 40? Maybe Carolina's second pick at 39? Even then, look how many teams I just went through. And if you already had six receivers go in round one to the point where you weren't really, I don't love this, we're going to move back, you might be taking wide receiver 10 to 12. And then we're asking guys like Jalen Polk to come in and be wide receiver one immediately, and he was the 12th guy off a board. That's concerning, to say the least. I'm not saying I want to trade all the way up and go get Rome Odunze. Be interesting. But I think they might be better set to just either stay at 28 or maybe trade up to 24 and just go get somebody like Adonai Mitchell and make it work for this year. I think you have the right building to come in and whatever his issues are, work through them. Because I got to imagine he's sitting there. If he gets picked by the Bills in 4 years, he could have a hell of a payday that can set up him, his young daughter as well. I got to imagine the Bills might be a perfect fit for Adonai Mitchell, and they don't have to move up maybe at all to go get him. That's going to do it for me tonight. I'll be back on tomorrow from 7 to 8. We'll break down really everything we heard from Lindy Ruff tomorrow. Again, that's going to be at 1 o'clock. We'll be here on WGR. Should be exciting. Should be interesting. Also, of course, happy draft week as well. You've been listening to Nightcap. This is WGR. If it happens, I'm excited to a certain extent. I don't want to sit here and say that I'm over the moon or that I think this is going to be the greatest hire ever. Honestly, I don't. To be perfectly honest, I'm more nervous than excited. But I do think he can somewhat put stability in a standard with this team, which is something they desperately need. That's, I think, what they need more than anything, is the standard. Now, ultimately, though, and I said it earlier today, and I'm going to keep saying it, is I think ultimately, though, this move is going to be more a long-term thing of eventually him retiring, maybe going up to president of hockey operations, staying with the Sabres for the rest of his career, not necessarily as a head coach, and they promote from within Seth Appert. Appert has been fantastic with Rochester, especially after the last few years, where they've seemingly gone really heavy towards the young guys. He has been very, very good. And now I kind of want to see how that can continue. Honestly, I'm kind of frustrated that they really were never going to give him a chance because they obviously had their guy from day one. I mean, the fact that we're here less than a week later and they've got their guy kind of tells you everything that when Adams was speaking with the media, he knew exactly who he was going for. But Appert, in 4 years with Rochester, missed the playoffs in year one, made it in 21-22, lost in round two, made it to the Eastern Conference Finals at the Calder Cup last year, and they're back in this year. And they look poised to go on a run again because they're hot at the end of the year. He is somebody I would have loved for them to have taken a serious look at. But I also do think they were just not in the right mindset to do it. They know they need to build a standard. And while I think Appert would be great, I can understand Adams and really the Sabres as a whole not totally trusting that. But now it really is going to be, because Ruff is not going to change. You know what you're getting there. But I think now it is fully in Adams. You've got to add in a few more pieces. Got to get legitimate veterans, not guys that are going to come in for leadership and they can't really play on the ice. You need legitimate guys who can come in and challenge this team. And having been there and done it, and not 10 years ago, but being 26, 27, 28 years old and can still play at a high level. And then to the players currently on this team, it is put up or shut up now. I would have told you at this time last year, that was one of the most likable Sabres teams in recent memory. Definitely since 05-06, without a doubt to me. They had young, up-and-coming talent. It was fun personalities. And they looked to be some of the best talent you've seen since the heydays. And 365 days later, I think rightfully we have a caller calling in, calling them soft, one of the softest teams he's ever seen. I've seen multiple people on Twitter talk about trading Dylan Cousins. You traded the wrong center. What's going on with Tage Thompson? What is Rasmus Dahlin? Paul brought it up tonight, too, of like just, you know, what have you gotten out of Rasmus Dahlin? He ain't the generational defenseman you thought you were getting. Quinn Hughes is. And he was taking, what, 6-7 spots later? He's got 97 points this year with Vancouver. He's amazing. And there's a lot, and I mean a lot of players on this team who have to look themselves in the face and decide now, what kind of player will you be? Will you just be a fine, solid NHL player? You'll probably move around a little bit here and there. Or are you actually going to be somebody? This is a young, fun team last year. At this time last year, we were all sitting here going, playoffs, oh, baby, we're coming. We're already here. Just need to fix a little bit in the goaltending, maybe add a better defenseman. We're rocking and rolling. The team decided to basically do nothing. But the current core as well did not help matters. They've talked about wanting a coach like Ruff. More accountability, more discipline, more structure. They're going to get it. Now it's up to them to actually answer the bell. And they can't come in October when the season starts and be, oh, they're fine. They're about 500. They're not really going to be No. It is put up or shut up for most of this team. For most of the team. You're getting good goaltending. I know recent reports also had it. I know UPL's a restricted free agent, but most reports have them. They're going to work on re-signing him. You're probably going to have Levi as your backup next year. So goaltending looks solid. You're hopefully going to be healthy. We'll see how that goes. That's always kind of holding your breath. But even then, if you're Adams and you get another injury in the middle of the offseason, you can't just let it sit there. You can't. But then with this team, you got to figure it out. You got to figure it out. And I like this core, and I think they can do it. Going to take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll wrap up tonight's show. You're listening to Tonight Captain. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here as we wrap up a Monday night on WGR. A reminder, of course, the Buffalo Sabres have hired Lindy Ruff as their head coach. He makes his, controversial return. It kind of seems like, just seeing on social media, taking calls today, a little bit controversial. I think a lot of people, myself included, well, we love Lindy and somewhat interested in the hire. I would have liked a different voice. I would have liked a newer voice rather than maybe the retread of all retreads. He will, though, have his introductory press conference at 1 o'clock tomorrow, of course, right here on WGR. We will carry that, so do stay tuned for that. Also, of course, it is draft week for the NFL. I made a few jokes that the Sabres kind of, you know, hijacked it a bit, but it's fine. Always happy for that. But of course, it is draft week. First round of the NFL draft on Thursday at 8 p.m. Excuse me, I almost said 4 p.m. At 8 p.m., our coverage here on WGR is going to start at 7 with myself, Nate Geary, and Derek Kramer. We'll carry you all weekend. Friday starting at 7 with rounds 2 and 3. And then, of course, Saturday rounds 4 through 7 for whenever that ends. We'll be on at noon. That's going to go on for quite a while, as it always does. Very excited for this draft. I think, really, this is maybe my favorite draft I've covered here while I've been working here at WGR, just because we all kind of know what the Bills need to get. It's a talented class to do so, but what are they going to do? Are they going to stay pat? Are they going to trade back? Are they going to trade up? I will tell you, and I'll leave you with this for tonight. The idea of trading back, the more I look at the back end of the 2024 class and the second round, the back end of the first round into the second round, I hate it more and more, the idea of trading back. Kansas City, probably going to take a receiver. Ultimately, they probably are. Rashee Rice is going to have a multi-game suspension, if not worse, with potentially going to prison, with the felonies he's dealing with, all that stuff. And even then, they still kind of need somebody. So they're likely going to take somebody. Carolina, without a doubt, needs a wide receiver. Xavier Leggett might be perfect at 33. Patriots, if they take a wide receiver, cannot toss them aside and say that they won't take a receiver. They desperately need one. Arizona likely takes Marvin Harrison Jr. They're out. Washington, though, also likely taking a quarterback. Terry McLaurin's not getting any younger, and it might be a good idea to add more weapons there. Chargers, if they take Joe out, they're taking a wide receiver there. There's just no doubt in my mind. Tennessee also could absolutely take a wide receiver. And who are you trading back with there? Maybe Washington's second pick at 40? Maybe Carolina's second pick at 39? Even then, look how many teams I just went through. And if you already had six receivers go in round one to the point where you weren't really, I don't love this, we're going to move back, you might be taking wide receiver 10 to 12. And then we're asking guys like Jalen Polk to come in and be wide receiver one immediately, and he was the 12th guy off a board. That's concerning, to say the least. I don't want to say, I'm not saying I want to like trade all the way up and go get Roma Dunze. Be interesting. But I think they might be better set to just either stay at 28 or maybe trade up to 24 and just go get somebody like Adonai Mitchell and make it work for this year. I think you have the right building to come in and whatever his issues are, work through them. Because I got to imagine he's sitting there. If he gets picked by the Bills in 4 years, he could have a hell of a payday that can set up him, his young daughter as well. I got to imagine the Bills might be a perfect fit for Adonai Mitchell, and they don't have to move up maybe at all to go get him. That's going to do it for me tonight. I'll be back on tomorrow from 7 to 8. We'll break down really everything we heard from Lindy Ruff tomorrow. Again, that's going to be at 1 o'clock. We'll be here on WGR. Should be exciting. Should be interesting. Also, of course, happy draft week as well. You've been listening to Nightcap. This is WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.